Okay, we're up to Perek Lamed Beis, Pasuk. Hey, can everyone hear me?
Yes, sure.
Perek Lamed Beis, Pasuk. Hey, lo yikari o lenovol nadiv. No longer, the microphone is not working, so... Lo yikari o lenadov nadiv. No longer will we call, you called novol. Novol means the person who is... despicable. A novel is an odom pachus v'nivze, a degraded and a low life. No longer will we flatter the novel by calling him generous. In our time, unfortunately, we know that we have to flatter. Unfortunately, we have to flatter people who are not deserving in order to get what we need to survive. At this point in time, we have the theme of this parak is we are discussing the time of Chizkiyahu, after the miracle of the fall of Sancheriv, when the world will reach a state which resembles Mashiach, pretty much. It was meant to be the time of Mashiach, but what did not happen, did not come to fruition in the full degree. And therefore, we are really borrowing from these psukim to describe the ideal society that will exist at the time of Mashiach. And at that time, no longer will we call the Navol Nadiv. Okay, the Navol is a despicable person. We'll know Nadiv is a term which refers to a generous, an uplifting, a person of high stature. There will no longer be flattery. Ulechilai, chilai parallels the word Navol. Chilai means here the Mitzudas Ramai, a deceiver. Others, Lonasur by Shuav Shuav, he translates Ulechilai as a miser. It's a very big difference. Chilai is not the same thing as a Ramai, but the Mitzudas translates the Chilai as a Ramai, and so does Rashi. I'm not sure where he had the source for miser. Chilai appears to come from the word kli, a utensil. I saw some of Farshim to play with the word kli. Kli is a utensil,
an empty
utensil. But a person who's wealthy has a lot of kalim. Has a lot of utensils, a lot of toys, a lot of cars, a lot of things to play with. That's how we define wealth in this world. The one who has more toys is the one who is rich. When you take a word and you play with it, the nikud, you mahapichli, play with the vowels, and instead of saying kli or kalim, you play around with, you change it to a chiruk, then that means a person that does not have utensils, or a person who pretends not to have utensils. A person who is missing, he's missing something fundamental. So that would fit well with a miser. A miser is a person who makes believe he does not have any utensils.
He loves, like...
to come to an end.
He's cleaned out.
Okay, so different ways to play around with this word, but either it means Rashi translating the Mitzvah, they translate as a Ramai, a deceiver, or it can mean a miser. Lo ye omer Shoa, no longer will it be said about them that they are a Shoa. A Shoa is an unusual word. It parallels the Nadiv, the person who is generous. No longer will we flatter the miser and the Ramai by calling him a generous person. So we have two words, we have four words. These two parallel each other. A nadiv parallels a shoa, and novol parallels a chilai. It appears that there are different levels. A novol is much worse than a chilai. Chilai is not as bad. He's bad, but not that bad. A nadiv is someone that's very great, but not as great as a shoa. So at this point in time, everything will be put in their proper perspective. No longer will we flatter the wicked. We will only give reward and honor to those that are truly deserving, unlike today when we have no choice. And indeed, this is brought out by the Medrash. Here in my Sefer, the Oitzah Medrashim brings down the Medrash that being that this Pasuk says, Lo Yikorei B'Loshon Osid, it indicates that in our, that's the future. In the future, that's how it's going to be, which means that in our time, before we come to this ideal state of society, it is necessary. We have to play the game. It is necessary. Of course, you cannot go overboard. You cannot go overboard and flatter or wicked a person that's not deserving when people are going to learn from him and be influenced and follow in his evil ways. But to a certain degree, in this world, it's not a perfect world. That's what it says. Darash Rabbi Yehuda Bar, it's a chiddush. Darash Rabbi Yehuda Bar Ma'arava, Vitema Rabbi Shimon Ben Pazi, Mutar Lahachanif L'Rashoyim B'Elam Hazeh. It's fascinating. How it's hard to understand what this means. It's permitted. I don't know. What? Not only necessary. It's a prohibition. Lo yikare. It's not proper. You would think that in this world also. I mean, it's one thing. You know, one thing. Darkest shalom. So you bend a little bit when you're dealing with people that are not ideal. But to call them a nadiv, and then to say that from this pasuk we can learn that only in the future it's forbidden, but today it's, these are the words. I'm not making this up. In the menorahs, in this gemara sota. I'm sorry, this is mamash gemara sota. If you look in the gemara, daf mem aleph, mutar lehachanif l'rishahim ba'olam hazeh. Sota mem aleph. You're allowed to flatter the wicked in this world. Shenemar lo yikore od. Only in the future we no longer call the novel nadiv. Ulechilai lo ye omer shoa. But it's mashma michlal the ba'olam hazeh shari.
Okay.
What? Yeah, but I mean, it's just because of survival, you're allowed to be over and call it Harakula. Chas v'shalom, there are limits, there are boundaries. How far are you allowed to go? Okay, so obviously you have to take this with a grain of salt. You obviously have to fully understand the depth of what this means, but we do find such a concept that we do not live in a perfect world. That is something, if you try to achieve perfection in the world we have today, you'll get nowhere. There has to be some room to wiggle in the world we live in today. Pasuk Vav, ki novel nevol...
Not just survival, but it's the end of the Kof Nefesh. Because if a real Russia has the
power...
Could manage to major people, so it's not such a big...
Obviously, what you're saying is true. That's what it says here. There is some truth, but you have to... How far do you go? When you flatter a person, when you give honor... You give honor to a Russia, people learn from that. Now, this is someone that's chashuv. Let's follow in his ways. You take a person who's wicked, like whatever wicked means, and they're giving him honor in the newspapers, and everyone is bowing down to him. So people who are impressionable, this is the lifestyle that we should...
A Russia is someone who's actively wicked.
Yeah.
They're nicer Russians. They're actively wicked.
Okay, so could it possibly be...
Like the Nazis were trying.
So you're going to fly them, we should follow in their ways, and we should...
Because they would be happy to do nicer Russians instantly.
So how far does it go? I don't know the answer. Obviously, it's a very difficult question. It has to be a balance. There are different situations. Pekuach nefesh, not pekuach nefesh. Even pekuach nefesh, you have to understand what are the boundaries of pekuach nefesh. Not everything is mutter from pekuach nefesh. How far do you go?
But that's not.
Okay.
I think that's not the question.
Okay. It's an idea. Obviously, the point. All we have to take out of this pasuk is we have to realize that's a very important point. That you do not have in this world perfection. Many people make that mistake. They think they're going to start a new organization. All the other organizations are corrupt. Government is corrupt, and this shul is corrupt, and that shul is corrupt. So we're going to start a new shul, a new community, a new society, a new organization to replace all of the corrupt organizations, and we're going to be perfect. It's not possible to be perfect. Why do you think you're going to be better than the one who came before you? We don't live in a perfect world. We don't live in a perfect society. And you have to work with what you have. And that's what we have to take out of this pasuk. In the future, it'll be perfection. But not in our times, it's lacking. Pasuk Vav. Now, the pasuk describes in more detail what exactly the problem of the novel and what exactly are the sins of the novel and what are the attributes, the positive attributes of the nadiv. Ki novel, nevolo yidaber. A novel, he speaks words of novel. We're defining the novel. His talk, his dibur, koyach hadib, that is the essence of man. Vayipach ba'ap of nishmas chayim v'havas v'adam ruach v'malav. You want to define the person, look into his speech. He speaks words of naval, of disgrace, of bizui, divulpeh, v'libo yaseh oven. His heart is involved in oven sin, in bringing forth and doing sin. La'asos chonef, to act in a way that is a flattery. Uladaber el Hashem Torah. Now we discuss many times what is chanifa and what is letzanas. We discuss these two are opposites. Chanifa and letzanas. Chanifa is where you take something which is worthless, which is nonsense, and you elevate it. You put on a pedestal. That is the opposite of letzanas. Letzanas to take davar choshuv ad ma'od and to bring it down and say this is worthless, it's nonsense, a waste of time. It's always good to take those two together to get an appreciation, chanifa and letzanas. What is a novel? The essence of a novel is to take narishkeit and to elevate it. This is the most important thing in life. That is what a novel is involved in doing his entire life. Uladaber Hashem Toa. And he says, you take this literally, Hashem makes mistakes. This is the apikorsis. You hear people that do this. You hear people say that. Yeah?
Yeah.
But ironically,
yeah.
The person who is named Novel
yeah.
was the person who cursed
David HaMelech,
which
right.
is tearing, just the opposite.
Which is Leitzonis,
yeah.
taking the Koyach of the Malchus and bringing it down. Interesting, very interesting. You're right, it's a very good point. But the two definitely go together. He has his values distorted. What is, obviously, if this is what he elevates to be the most important thing, what is the most important thing in his eyes is worthless. It's true, good point. And L'dabir L'Hashem Toa. Toa means mistake. He says that Hashem, this is a little bit of a jush, but he says Hashem makes mistakes. Hatsur tamim pa'alo ki chol d'rachav mishpat kel emunav einav. The Kadosh Baruch Hu is perfect. In this world, he sees this global warming and there's corruption. Obviously, the Creator, there are faults in the Creator. This is the essence of a novel. A person that says Hashem is Torah, he is mistaken. Remember, we had before in the previous psukim, the gam hu chacham. Hashem is also a chacham. Yeah.
No, but by definition, if you say, God forbid, that Hashem is mistaken, it means you're smarter.
Right. L'daber el Hashem Toa, l'horik nefesh rav. What else does he do? He robs. He empties out the soul of the hungry. Now, simply this means people who are starving, he couldn't care less. Adarabba, whatever they have, take away from them. Make them even hungrier. U'mashkei tzameh yachsir. The drink of the thirsty he removes, he diminishes. Someone who's thirsty, so let's make them even more thirsty. He's a very wicked person to deny the hungry and the thirsty, for take away from them the little bit that they do have. Of course, we can take this pasuk not in its literal sense, but symbolically, the nefesh is the soul. The soul yearns for spirituality. This is the whole essence of a person. And what does he do? Deny people from spirituality. Just let them focus on materialism, on sustenance. It's not a good idea to spend time learning Torah, to devote yourself to Kadosh Baruch Hu. He pours and he steals from the nefesh roev. He takes away from people the ability to receive a Jewish education. That's really what Mashkeit Tzameh Yachsir, the liquid Tzameh Hoikol Tzameh, L'chu L'mayim. People that are thirsty for Torah, he denies. Let's close down all of the yeshivos. Everyone should go and just focus on making a parnasa. It has to be a balance. It's not proper to, that's what the whole essence of a novel is. Pasuk Zayin, V'chelai, continuing this theme, V'chelai, the miser. The miser or the ramai, kelov ra'im, his tools are equal to play on the words. The chelai and the word kelov. That's how the mafarshim play around it. They say the word kelai comes from the word kelov, utensils. He makes believe, so if you learn that it's a miser, he makes believe that he does not have it. I have nothing to give. I have no utensils. My utensils are empty. Or the chelai, he's a ramai. Kelov are your tools. There are people that have tools, all different crafts, trades. They use, the ramai is someone that uses his skills to deceive and to harm other people. So it also goes well with the word, the relationship between the word kelai and kelov. The one that has kelim will use his tools, his technology, or his skills to trick and deceive people in their evil. Hu zimos yatsi plans. Zimos means evil plans. He plans, he puts it into motion. Lechabel aniyim, the girsa which is kriyuksiv, to lechabel, to harm, to destroy the poor. He takes advantage of the less fortunate, the imre sheker, by speaking about them words of falsehood. He says about the poor lies, and being that there's no one to defend the poor. Poor people, by definition, have no defense. The chilai succeeds, and here it's a little bit complex in actually words. Uvedaber evyon mishpat. The way the Mepharshim learned this is very common in these psukim, in Nevi'im, Achroinim. We have to take the word lechabel. The word lechabel is really appearing twice in this pasuk. Lechabel refers to aniyim be'imrei shaker. He destroys the poor with words of shaker, and also he is chabel. This kilai is chabel, the evyon. Now here it's a little different. When the evyon, even when the evyon speaks mishpat, an evyon, someone who's destitute, comes to court, he comes to the judge, and he complains that he has been robbed, he has been hurt, and the words of the evyon are mishpat, are on the mark, and he is deserving of justice. But the chilai comes to court, and he destroys his defense. He destroys his arguments through bribes, through trickery, through corruption. So the Chabel refers to the Evyon, even when the Evyon appears with words of Mishpat, with Divrei Mishpat, the Chilai is successful in destroying this Evyon through his Zimos, which he puts into motion that he plans with the word Yo'ots. Pasuk Ches, the Nadiv, in contrast to the Chilai, the Ramai, the Miser, the Nadiv, the generous person, the noble individual, Nidivos Yo'ots, he has plans of nobility. And this is the beautiful part of the Pasuk. We had this before, in a few parakim before. V'hu, it's not only that he has plans. V'hu al Nidivos Yo'kom, he brings to fruition his plans. Many people, they talk big. I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this, I'm going to give a lot of tzedakah, I'm going to speak to someone on your behalf, I'm going to accomplish great things. And what becomes of the grand plans? Nothing. Hot air, empty talk, nonsense. The Nadiv, not only does Nidivos Yo'ots, does he have plans, he actually implements the plans. He brings the plans to the world of reality. The Al Nidivos, and with his plans, Yokum. Something comes of the plans. It's not empty talk. That is an incredible milah, because we suffer from that so much today, where everyone has all these ideas. It's just empty words. Lo Yokum. That's what we say about the enemy. But so here, the Nadiv is
cheap.
What? Talk is cheap. Correct. Pasek Tes, Noshim Sha'ananos Komna, Shemano Kali. Now here we're taking the simple and single this pasuk, we're taking a turn for the worse. What we're doing is, even though here we are at a time of utopia, we're discussing the time of the aftermath of the fall of Sanherif, where Yerushalayim came to a glorious, the most glorious period of time in Jewish history, where they were secure. Just like, you know, Shlomo HaMelech. There were very few times in history where there was a sense of security in their colleagues. So it was during Shlomo HaMelech, Ishal Gafnei, Tachas Gafnei, Tachas Teinasei, time of Shlomo HaMelech when he built the Bayis Rishon. And here, 125 years before the Churban of the Bayis Rishon, again, in the time of Chizkiyahu, after the fall of Sancheirif, there was a sense of safety and security for the Jewish people under Chizkiyahu after the fall of Sancheirif, when they were living in the ways of Torah. It was a beautiful time in history. But Yeshayahu says it's not going to last long. I know there's something wrong with society, and I know it's going to be short-lived. After the death of Chizkiyahu, it took a turn for the worse. Menashe and Amon, it took a steep dive, which eventually led to the Churban of the Beis HaMikdash, with a short break after Amon. But so he's now predicting the downturn. This period will last for about 15 more years. I think Chizkiyahu reigned approximately, I'm not sure exact numbers, about 15 more years after this period of time, until he died, Menashe took the throne, and he addresses Klal Yisrael with the feminine words. Well, there are many interpretations, but right now let's assume that when he says Noshin, he refers to the cities. The cities of the Jewish people are described as women. Noshim Sha'ananos. Sha'ananos means in a state of peace. We have many words which mean the same thing: peace, tranquility, security. Women who are comfortable, who are secure and peaceful. Koimna, get up and listen. I have something to tell you. Listen to me, the Jewish people. Shemana Koili, get up and listen. I have something I have to tell you. Banos, daughters. Again, cities. These are the suburbs. They are the large cities. Yerushalayim, and there must have been some other large cities in the immediate area. And then there were some small cities which were calling banos, the daughters, the little girls, relative to the adults. Botchos, who are secure, who have a sense of security. This word botchos parallels the word sha'ananos. Hazena imrasi, listen to my words. The word imrasi parallels koli, hazena parallels shemana. We have a little repetition. Listen to what I'm about to tell you. This is one interpretation we discuss now about to give Musar, and about to tell, we're coming over here soon. Next psukim is going to tell them that watch out. Watch out, because in over time there's going to be a churban, there's going to be sin, and there will be the ultimate churban of the Bayis Rishon. Okay, that's one interpretation. Another interpretation is that we're discussing actually women themselves, Nashim. He's talking to the women. And because the women at this time reached a higher level than the men. Now let me read you the Gemara. It's Gemara Masechta Brachos, coming up soon in the Daf Yomi, Daf Yud Zayin. The Gemara says, Gidoyla haftocha sheftichon HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'noshim, Yoseh min hu anashim. Hashem gave greater bracha, greater promises to the women than the men. Why? Shenemar, like in this pasuk, Noshim, this pasuk, Hashem speaking to the women. Noshim, shananos, even though the pasuk is musar, we're about to enter into a rebuke, a tirade, but he at least begins by saying beautiful things to the women. Women of security, of tranquility, because they achieved a greater degree of emuna in HaKadosh Baruch Hu than the men gesundheit at this point in time. So that's why he is describing their emuna in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They have achieved here a special bracha. They're called Sha'ananos, and they're called Bonos Botros. Okay, that's one idea. Another idea. Now, this is amazing. This is in Eliyahu Rabbah, Parsha Dalet. It's here in my Sefer Eitzah HaMidrashim, and this Sefer Eitzah HaMidrashim, page Resh Gimel, here on the bottom. And it seems like he's adding some interpretation from the Mo'ere H. And this is awesome. You have to understand what this means. It doesn't say this explicitly, but he has a medrash that says that La'os Silavo, not only will the men be in Koilo, the women will be in Koilo. And that's what it means here. It's, even though again the positive is a reference to the beginning of Musar. I'm telling you bad news, but we know from learning Yeshaya that every positive can be isolated, and there's words of bracha. Listen to my words; they're going to be coming to the shiurim. There's going to be yarke kala, literally for the kalos. There's going to be a koilel for noshim. And who's going to be the Magid Shir? HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Noshim Shananos Koyna Shemana Koyli. Get up, come to the Shir, listen to what I have to say. Botchos, not Bonos, Botchos HaZeina Imrasi. Koylel for Noshim. I'm not making this up. Here on the bottom, let me read you a little bit of it. Ela Mikra Zenidosh Ala Osulavai. Sha'oz Yichyu Chayim Shaloi Betzalim Osam Shiach Elam Abba Ketzad. HaKadosh Baruch Hu leishe b'beis hamedrash ha-godol. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will sit in the beis hamedrash ha-godol shelo. New beis hamedrash. Can you imagine who the sponsor, whose name will be on the door? The dinner for this beis hamedrash. Can you imagine? V'tzadikei oylam yoyishim lufanav. And in the front rows will be the tzadik oylam. Hein, who will be the mixed ceiling. That's what it says in this beis hamedrash. Forget about that. Forget about weddings.
Thank you.
It says, Yoishin Lefanov Hain, they, Unishehen, and their wives, Uvinehen and their sons, Uvino Sehem and their daughters, the Avdehem and their servants, the Amho Sehem and their maidservants, the Oisin Lohem Hashem will provide Tzarech Batem Shnemar. He concludes the Posek, and now in the Parish, this is added, so it doesn't say this in the Medrash, but this is what he adds, he injects here. Harei shegam hanoshim yishmu hein beruach hakodesh. The women also will participate in listening. They will listen. They'll be participants in the shiur that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give in the Beis Medrash Hagodol Shaloi, in his Beis Medrash. Fascinating. Now this is going to Eliyahu Rabbah Parsha Dalet. Again, it's subject to interpretation, so don't overreact. Okay, let's go further.
The Babacher Rabbi Mashiach and Avi Weiss is making
koel
for the ladies.
Yeah. Okay, Yomim Al Shana. Tirgaz, the Pasik Yud. Pasik Yud, we have now begins the Musar. Powerful rebuke. Yomim Al Shana. We know the word Shana means a year. What does it mean, Yomim, days? But in this context, it means a year as well. As we have Yomim Tihiye Giuloso. When a person sells a home in a walled city, he can redeem the home for 1 year. How does the Torah describe 1 year? With the word yamim. Yamim in the Torah is used to refer to a year, an entire year. And that's how it's been used here in this pasuk. It's a complex use of the word together with the word shana. Yamim al shana. So if we read it, shana al shana. Right? If the pasuk would have said shana al shana, you would right away know it means year after year. Multiple years, 50 years, year after year after, like we say in English, year after year after year, non-stop. So here it's the same exact thing, but it's a bit more poetic. With the, instead of the word shana al shana, it's yamim al shana, year after year, tirgazna, you will tremble, botros. Those who were in the past secure will now lose their security. And they will shake. Tirgazna means to shake and tremble. Why? Ki cholavotzir, because the parnasa, everything all depends on parnasa. If there's no parnasa, there's nothing. Because the vatzir is the harvest of grapes, will come to an end, and osef b'li yavo. When osef means the harvest. The vatzir means the season. The season of harvest will come to an end, and there will be nothing to show for it. Nothing to take into the home. Again, so vatsir in this context means the season, the harvest season will end, and osef, the product, the actual produce, beli yavo, will not enter the home. Nothing will be produced when the harvest season is over. Come April 15th, time for taxes, there'll be nothing to report, because the previous year, we were no profits. There were only losses. That's the curse of what he says. The end of the batzir will come, and osef b'liyavo, and the produce will not come into the home. And therefore, because of that, that's why the nashim botchos, these individuals who we're describing as nashim, will now lose their security, and they will tremble. Pasuk yidalef, chirdu, same thing, we're repeating this ourselves. Chirdu sha'ananos. Chirdu means to shake in terror. To be afraid and terrorized. Sha'an anos, those that in the past were secure. Rigoza botchos, repetition. I don't know the difference between chirdu and rigoza. All means the same idea, to be afraid. Botchos, same thing as sha'an anos, those that were secure. Pishota v'ora, take off your clothing. Pishota means to take off. Ora means to pour out. And in this expression means to, like irui. It means to pour out. In this context, it means to remove. When you, same way you pour a liquid out of a utensil, when you take off your clothing, it's called you are pouring your clothing off your body. Same, that's the idea how it's been used. Peshoto v'ora, remove your clothing. Two expressions to remove your clothing. V'chagoro al chalotzoim, and put a belt or some type of makeshift covering on your loins to cover your nakedness. And this is a reference to the Nebuchadnezzar, and this was common in ancient times, and unfortunately we know in the Holocaust as well, that they would humiliate the exiles by having them march naked. When they would march them from their homeland to the land of their exile, where they would be taken, they were naked. They were stripped down of their clothing in order to humiliate them. And so that's what the pasuk here says. At the very least, they would at least let them at least to cover their erva, but not more than that. Pasuk Yud Beis Al Shadayim Softim. Shadayim means the breasts, and that means like the chest. Softim, eulogize, mourn. And this was an ancient custom. When they would mourn, they would sing. They had songs, sad songs, and part of the songs they would beat their hands on their chest. Softim. And indeed, from this pasuk we learn, this is one of the Gemara learns from this pasuk, was the Gemara Morid Katan, that whenever it says in Tanakh, this expression of sofeid, it means to beat your hand beat your hands on your chest. How do we know? This pasuk al shadayim. Shadayim means literally the breast, but it means in this context the chest. Al shadayim sofeidim. Hesped. Right. So what does it mean hesped? So we translate this in modern terms, colloquial terms, it means to give eulogy. No one never saw by hesped in modern times someone going like this. I mean, that's a different thing. But that's not what it means here. Soifed means it's an expression of mourning. It's not necessarily focusing on. We use the word hesped to eulogize, to sing the praises of the person who has left us. That's not really what it means in Tanakh. In Tanakh, it means it's our loss. Forget about the person. The person is another story. Person will, his praises, who he was, what he accomplished, how great he is. There are other terms, but the word sofid is to mourn our loss. We are missing. We suffer because this person is no longer here, or not necessarily a person. Galus. We no longer have a Beis HaMikdash. We no longer have security. We no longer have parnasa. So we suffer. Forget about what is. Forget about the individual. And that was accompanied with beating the fists upon the chest. And that's what we get from this pasuk. What are you mourning for? You're mourning for al stei chemed. You're mourning for the field. The chemed means desirable field. Name of a camp, stei chemed. Very, very popular camp, Eretz Yisrael, Teitelbaum, Eli Teitelbaum, and now his son, David Teitelbaum, Sedei Chemed, that's where it comes from.
It's a safer. Yeah,
it's a safer SDF, yeah, correct, that's right. I'm just thinking from camp point of view, but of course, there's a safer Sedei Chemed, absolutely. Al Sedei Chemed, mourn for the Sedei Chemed, the desirable fields, Al Gefen Poria, for the fruitful vine. Okay, there are a number of Midrashim. One Midrash says that this the Shadayim, there are two breaths. It refers to the two Batei Mikdosh, the Bayis Rishon and the Bayis Sheni. Shaddai ki Migdolos, like towers. So the ultimate tower in Klal Yisrael is the Bayis HaMikdash. That's and then Sedei Chemed, it refers for Eretz Yisrael in its entirety. So what are we mourning for? We're mourning for the loss of the Bayis Rishon and the Bayis Sheni. Okay, fine. There's no Bayis HaMikdash. But just because no Bayis HaMikdash doesn't mean we can't live in Eretz Yisrael. Right? Why not? You can live in Eretz Yisrael. What's our land? Hashem gave it to the Avos. No, there's going to be a Golos, and you're going to leave the land with the death of with the death of Gedaliah. Son Gedaliah was it. There was no one left. After there was no one left in Eretz Yisrael. Everyone was bottle. So we mourn also for the stay, the field that's desirable, the whole Eretz Yisrael. And the Geffen Pariah refers to the Jewish people. When the Jewish people went into Golis, many of them either were killed or went off the derech, were lost, assimilated, disappeared. Saras HaShvat, where'd they go? We don't know what happened to them. So this pasuk is a very powerful pasuk. It really captures, pasuk Gibeis, the totality of Churban. The Shadayim, the two Batei Mikdoshos, and the Stei Chemed Eretz Yisrael, the desirable field, and the Jewish people. The Jewish people are lost without a homeland, without a Beis HaMikdash. Everything is lost. Okay, one more pasuk gimel. Al Admas Ami, upon the nation of my people, Kotz Shamir Taleh, upon my holy land, the land of my people, what's going to happen? Be destined. This is a hidden blessing. Okay, this is a silver lining that HaKadosh Baruch Hu never in history allowed Eretz Yisrael to be conquered by another nation. Other country civilizations, they were conquered. What happened to the Indians? Their land was taken away by the United States of America. There is no this kemat, no zecher. They're gone. I mean, okay, there are some little holdouts, but ruba deruba. If the old nation would come and say we want our land back, they'll say sorry. The land is occupied by a new nation. The Eretz Yisrael was never conquered in a large degree by another nation that would prevent Klal Yisrael from coming back and taking possession of the land. Okay, we know that's not 100% accurate because the Arabs, to a certain degree, have a hold on Eretz Yisrael, but...
There was just a study that there was a much larger Jewish population. I mean, the beginning of the 19th century, there were Arabs.
So it is true. I mean, obviously it's true because... If it wasn't true, then we would not have no claim. We would not have a presence. Today, the presence of Jewish people, 7 million Jews in Eretz Yisrael, is that correct? Something like that? So to a certain degree, this is a bracha, that what will become of the land? When the Jews go into exile, no one's coming there to build skyscrapers and to build hotels and invest billions of dollars, trillions of dollars in land. It's a land, al admas ami kot shomer tale, be thorns and thistles. It'll be shoming until my people are ready, and then they'll come back and they'll reoccupy. No one's going to hold them back. No one's going to make trouble for them. Again, you have to take that with a grain of salt, obviously. Al-Koitz, Shamir. Koitz, Shamir, Koitz, and Shamir are two words which mean the thorns. Two words which mean the same thing. Tala, it will come up upon my land. Ki al-Kol Batei Masos, on all of the homes, which in the past was a place of enjoyment. Eretz Yisrael was a place of simcha, kirya aliza, a city of happiness. This was the hallmark. This was the hallmark of Eretz Yisrael. It's a happy place. You want a simcha, you go to Yerushalayim, you go to Eretz Yisrael. It's a kirya aliza, it's a place of batei masos. But now all of that will come to an end. Yeshai here is predicting what people, they thought he was out of his mind. It's a lunatic. He's telling us this now. He's telling us that in 125 years there's going to be a churban by a nation called Bavel. They're going to come, they're going to conquer. Right now, at this time when he's speaking, they were afraid. They were afraid first of Ashur. They had bigger problems on their head. And then he's telling them, "Well, Ashur, don't worry about Ashur. It's true. He's going to conquer the Malchus of Yisrael, but he's not going to conquer the Malchus of Yehuda, because Hashem's going to do a miracle, and all of his soldiers are going to die. But afterwards, you should be aware you can have, even though you're going to have tranquility for a couple of years, for a good 15, 20 years." When Menashe and Amon come to the throne, it's going to take a deep dive. And then that's when you're going to have the real problem. The Nebuchadnezzar. Who's Nebuchadnezzar? The king of Babel. Who's Babel? It's a new kingdom that will conquer the world. What are you talking about? Babel, they didn't even exist. Prophecy. This is the words of a prophet. I'm telling you, it's going to happen. And it did happen. And at that point in time, the land will be Chorav. The place that was once Kirya Aliza, a place that was once Batei Masos, will now be filled with Shamir, Kites and Shamir, until you are deserving to come back to your land. Okay, we'll stop here.